invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. We're going to look at chapter 3 and chapter 4. In fact, we're going to look at a few other passages as well. As you can see in your bulletin, some of the other passages we'll be referring to. Paul's second epistle to Timothy was written close to the time of his death. And you recall that Paul was imprisoned in Rome and wrote several epistles during that time, including his first epistle to Timothy. As he wrote in Philippians as well as 1 Timothy, he expected to be released soon and continue his ministry, which indeed happened. However, years later, Emperor Nero burnt down part of Rome and blamed it on the Christians when rumors about his own guilt got too persistent. How many of you remember that from history class? Okay. Well, as a result, a fierce persecution arose and Paul was arrested in Troas and sent to Rome once again, this time to be eventually condemned to death, as Paul testified in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Here then in 2 Timothy, Paul, knowing his departure to be with Christ was near, put down in writing his last will and testament, so to speak, the most urgent and important of exhortations and truths for Timothy and for all of God's people. As you can imagine, this was something that was very precious, because if one of your loved ones were close to death and they said some things, in fact, wrote them down for you, you would treasure them, would you not? And so the same thing happened here. One very important warning that the Holy Spirit uses Paul to bring to our attention is the danger of the last days. Would you follow along in your Bible then as I read aloud for us 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Then skip with me to the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. These are some very precious words to me as a pastor, ones that God has burdened my heart to fulfill and follow. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. As I pointed out before I read these passages of Scripture, the Holy Spirit used Paul to bring to our attention the danger of the last days. So the first question you may be asking is this: are we in the last days? I guess the best place to start would be to ask then, what exactly does the Holy Spirit mean by last days? In general, the term last days refers to the last period of time or era before Christ comes again. This generally would refer to the period of time that began with the ascension of Christ, recorded in Acts chapter 1, and which continues until the second coming of Christ. When used in the more narrow sense, the term last days refers to the last few years or decades before the second coming of Christ. It seems that in the context of this passage, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, is referring to that more narrow, specific time close to the second coming. Notice that verse 1 warns that in the last days, a more difficult time will arrive, understood as near the culmination of the last days. This Greek word, chalepos, translated perilous in the King James Version and difficult in our New American Standard Bible, means dangerous, grievous, difficult, harsh. You can see that it has a broad meaning, and kind of put those two translations together and you've got a better picture of what these days are referring to. Notice the specific conditions that prevail in this last of the last days, described for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. So we're going to be focusing on this passage for a while here. The phrasing of the Greek indicates that the focus of the danger and difficulty of the last days is that the people in this specific time period will become more and more depraved in the ways described in verses 2 through 5. These characteristics will not only be tolerated, but even promoted during these last days. This will make it all that much harder and even dangerous to live godly lives during these days. So let's take a closer look at these characteristics listed in these verses. The first two traits naturally go together. Lovers of self. As Bible commentator Edmund Hebert put it, this heads the list since it is the essence of all sin and the root from which all the other characteristics spring. The center of gravity of the natural man is self rather than God. As Ken Collier so well put it, just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Obviously, the characteristic of these last days is a blatant self-love. By the way, this is promoted horrendously by psychologists today, telling you that if you don't love yourself, you can't love other people. Wrong, okay? The thing is that we naturally love ourselves, as the scripture tells us. No man ever yet hateth his own body, it says, but loves it and cherishes it. So the point is we're naturally built in with self-love. What the Bible tells us to do is to quit loving self so much and start loving God more and others next and self last. There's a Sunday school song that uses the word joy, J-O-Y. It says, Jesus and others and you, that's the way to spell joy. And you love those in that order. So, lovers of money, this naturally follows as the means for the gratification of self. Self wants something? Well, money is often the way to get it. The next three traits are closely related. Boastful, arrogant, revilers. Because they love themselves and, in essence, worship themselves, they love to brag about themselves. They are arrogant and overbearing in their relations to others. This leads to disdain of others, and they become revilers. Their speech is abusive and injurious of others. They insult both men and God without batting an eyelid. The next six traits also show a definite sequence and connection. Disobedient to parents is a sin that leads to the next five sinful traits, because their disregard for parental authority brings rebellion toward all other authority, including God's authority. Please let me pause here and talk to any children who are listening, especially those of you who are in Christian homes. Please don't make the mistake of thinking that because you are in a Christian home, somehow you are immune to this trait. You must guard your heart from this temptation, especially in view of where this trait, if not confessed and forsaken, will lead you. If you find that rebellion has already taken hold of your heart, please take time right now to confess it to the Lord and forsake it by his enablement. So, disobedient to parents, This rebellion always leads to an ungrateful heart. They do not appreciate any benefits received from their parents, nor from any others, including God himself. In their unthankfulness, they become unholy, impious, respecting and revering nothing as sacred. Unloving, by their indifference to and utter disregard for the welfare of those with whom they are connected by natural ties, they sink lower than the beasts. Can there be any clearer example of this today than the continual callous murder of unborn babies? Irreconcilable can also be translated implacable. They will accept nothing less than their own way, and they want full vengeance on anyone that has in any way done anything to offend them. Their viciousness manifests itself in being malicious gossips. The Greek word is a plural form of diabolos, literally devils, pointing out the fact that they imitate the devil himself in inventing and throwing evil reports and accusations at others. The next three characteristics again are closely connected. Without self-control, they've never learned to exercise a restraint on their lusts and passions. They are brutal, in other words, savage and untamed, like wild animals in their attitudes and actions. Let me pause here to ask you to consider what movies and music videos are most popular today. Think about it for just a minute. This list we are considering right now bears a remarkable resemblance to the entertainment choices and diet kids are feeding on today. The people in the last days are not only brutal and without self-control, they sink to the place where they are haters of good. Not just despising good people, but despising anything that is good. Today, more than any other time in memory, the definition of cool or in would include the opposite of that which is good. The next three traits are again closely related vices. Treacherous. They have no qualms, betraying confidence and trust put in them. The man who is not restrained by loyalty is one who throws off restraints in other areas. He is reckless and rash. This man is blinded by pride. He is conceited. The last characteristic of the unsaved people in the last days is that they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This list of depravity started with a love of self and ends with a lack of love for God. Can there be any doubt then that we are living in this last part of the last days? What is the point of knowing that we are in the last of the last days? Well, notice several important commands given in these two chapters of 2 Timothy. Paul directs several commands and exhortations to all believers. Avoid professing Christians who stubbornly persist in such traits. 2 Timothy 3:5, avoid such men as these. Concentrate on continuing to live according to what you have been taught from godly pastors, teachers, and parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Expect persecution and eventually God's deliverance from it. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In addition to commands and exhortations to all believers, Paul directs several commands to pastors. Keep faithfully doing the work of the ministry, focusing on the power of God's word to change hearts and lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. This is a passage that is precious to me as a pastor, and one that I review regularly, make sure that I am keeping to what God wants me to do and have and believe. Preach the word. Proclaim it as a herald that proclaims a message from a king. This is the first and most important task. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. In addition to being faithful in the work of the ministry and preaching the word of God, the pastor is to be ready always with God's answer to any problem or need. The pastor must reprove, means expose the error of those who are erring from the truth or failing in holiness. He must also rebuke. This is a stronger word, reprimand the sinner. He must exhort, give tender admonition and encouragement to the faint-hearted and those who are discouraged, with an attitude of patience and based firmly on sound teaching. Finally, the pastor must be sober and spiritually alert. He must patiently endure hardships and persecution. He must be constantly giving out the good news to the lost and fulfill every task God has called him to do. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice several implied warnings to unbelievers. Don't keep fooling yourself that you are saved just because you attend church or claim to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul points out that the unbelievers he is referring to here were actually in the churches which Timothy and other faithful pastors were pastoring. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. And then in chapter 3, verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. So the way to discern true believers from professing but false believers is whether or not they depart from iniquity when it is pointed out. You see that in chapter 2, verse 19. Those who are unsaved will continue in their sin, pursue their desires, and look for unfaithful teachers and pastors who will allow them to continue to live disobedient, sinful lifestyles. I cannot tell you how grieved I am to hear of pastors who are teaching and tolerating horrible things that the Bible preaches against. And yet that's the case in these last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. I think one of the biggest testimonies to the fact that we are not preaching that way, that we are preaching God's word carefully and prayerfully is notice all the empty places in the pews around us. The churches that are filled to the brim with people, usually, not always, but usually are because the pastor's not preaching the word of God, but is tolerating things that are unbiblical. To answer the question I posed to you earlier, the point of knowing that we are in the last of the last days is that you and I have very little time left. If you are saved, you have very little time left to count for Christ, to live for Christ. If you aren't 100% sure that you are saved, you have very little time left to repent of your sin and trust Christ alone to save you from sin and hell. May I say with all the love of Christ in my heart, you urgently need to do something about it right now. You don't have much time left. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Perhaps you're here today and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die tonight or next week or next year, you would go straight to heaven. Perhaps you're listening on Zoom or even listening to this message later on our website, and you're not 100% sure of your salvation. We are in the last of the last days, and your time is short. If you want to make sure of your salvation, please, would you let me know? And if you're listening to this later on our website, the invitation is for you as well. Please contact me so that I can help you come to Christ. Christian, perhaps the Lord has spoken to you about the fact that you are displaying some of these characteristics of the last days that we just looked at in detail in this message. Will you confess it to the Lord right now? Forsake it by his enablement? Perhaps the Lord has spoken to you, Christian, about using your time more wisely for the Lord, making your life really count for Christ. Would you let me know by raising your hand? No one's looking, just me. I won't point you out, won't embarrass you in any way, but if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I strongly encourage you, just let me know so I can pray for you. Maybe you can talk to me afterwards so I can give you biblical counsel on how to forsake sin and make your life count for Christ. If you're listening to this later on our website, please, the invitation is for you as well. Please contact me so that I can help you in this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness in letting us know what we have to look forward to, letting us know what the conditions will be in the last of the last days. Lord, we know that in many ways, all these things that we read in the list have been here since our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And yet it seems that these last few decades, that these conditions have become more and more overwhelming and consistent, and even having government laws backing them up. Lord, I pray that you would stir up our hearts, that we would desire to be faithful witnesses to the lost of the wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus paid his life's blood to purchase. I pray, Father, that we would be faithful in living godly lives that would give testimony to your power to change us. And Lord, I pray that this testimony would not only bring glory to your name, but would give hope to the lost around us that you can change lives, that your power to transform us is still present today, and that they too can experience your power of transformation. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us to spend time in your word, to be encouragement to other believers, and to witness to the lost until you return. We believe, Lord, that it is not very long now. Pray that you'd help us to live as if you were coming today, that you would not find us doing anything wrong, but doing what you've commanded us to do. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.